go to one service next week. Good morning. I am Tim Malone. I am the Family Ministry Director here at Cornerstone. It's my pleasure to bring you the Word today. And if you're just catching up with us today, this summer we'll be going through the Psalms of Ascent. And we think it's a group of psalms that were put together for the purpose of Israel, of God's people, as they journeyed from their homes and their villages up to the holy city, Jerusalem, to worship God, that they used these psalms to sing and to worship God as they traveled on the road. And today we're at Psalm 124. And its main point is recalling what it means for God to be on our side. And that's what we're going to look at today. What does it mean to have God on our side? Also, what doesn't it mean? Because sometimes we can get confused. And then if God is on our side, what are we to do? How are we to respond? So I want to frame it like we're taking that trip together. We're walking. We're taking the road trip. We're on the journey. And I must tell you, it's not the road trip that you're thinking of, right? Because nowadays, this is how we do our road trips, right? You know, see the brother's got his video game system there. He's playing. Sister's got her personal DVD player. Mom's got a big smile on her face because I don't have to worry about complaining or arguing because they'll be all occupied. And I can read my book. And Dad, he's in his own world there. I don't know, trying to figure out how fast they can get there. That's the kind of road trip that we think about, right? We don't even measure it in miles or hours. We measure it in movies. Kids, it's a long trip. 3 full movies this time. But don't worry. Mom's got lots of snacks, so we'll be okay. But that's not the trip that I'm talking about today. We're taking a trip with ancient Israel, walking together, traveling as a community. And imagine we're just walking along, and then someone breaks out in song. And they start singing Psalm 124. And then we all start joining in. And it's a song as we're walking along and people are singing. This is who we are. This is our identity. This is what the Lord has done for us. This is our song of victory. And they're singing and we're walking and everybody's enjoying it. But then I'm thinking there's probably some youngsters in there, maybe 12, 13, 11. And they're like, you know, they're singing this song of victory, but life is hard. And maybe they tug on the shirt of the person next to them and they say, hey, you know, where is this God of power, of deliverance? I haven't really seen him. You know, life's hard. We got enemies. I don't understand this. And then the community goes, no, no, this is our song. Don't you remember when we were backed up to the Red Sea and Pharaoh was charging after us? God parted the waters and we walked through. We were victorious. Don't remember when we went into the promised land and the walls of Jericho and the fortified city? We blew some trumpets and the whole wall fell down. Don't you remember Daniel? He was thrown into the lion's den. And he came out unscathed. Our God is powerful. These are our stories. This is our identity. This is our hope. All of these stories, they tell of God's glory by his love for his people. He acts in time and history to preserve his people. And you know, I wish we could travel like that today. We could all just get up, walk out those doors, take a 3-day hike, and start sharing stories and pointing towards the Lord and how he's delivered us. And say, no, 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 hope, don't give up. No, 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 look what the Lord has done. Look what he will do. We need that time to see our identity as the church of God's people. And that's what this psalm is. It's a song of identity for God's people, God's rescue people. And it calls us to leave our little stories. I remember at a retreat a couple years ago, the speaker started off, he said, if your story is just about you, it's not a good story. And that story will fade away, and pretty quickly, probably. What we want to do as God's people is we want to take our story and put it in His story. And see our life in the grand scheme of the big picture. And that's what they were doing as they were singing this psalm. And that's what we need to do. We need to take our experiences. We need to take our feelings, our disappointments, our hurts, our pains, our circumstances, and place it in the big story. And that's what we're going to attempt to do today. And here is Psalm 124. Let me read this to us. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let's pray. Father, help us to make this song, this psalm, this word, our word. Encourage us this morning. Convict us this morning. Work in our hearts that we might understand your deliverance and we might live in that deliverance as your people. Help us this morning, I pray, in your name. Amen. If the whole psalm hinges on this short little two-letter word, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Basically, if the Lord wasn't on our side, forget it. Game over. It's over. Okay? They don't have a chance. The scriptures talk about Israel as a small little nation. Okay? They weren't powerful. Other people, other nations weren't afraid of Israel. You know, it's kind of like the French today. Nobody's afraid of France, right? They're not real strong, okay? That's how they were like, you know. They were really, really small. And even God even says this about them. I didn't choose you because you were a great nation. I chose you because you were the smallest. Okay, that's part of our identity. He chose us not because we are great, but because He wants to show His greatness in us. So here we are, this small little nation surrounded by enemies in a time where bigger and more powerful nations were ready just to pick them off and devour them. If God was not protecting them, if God was not on their side, it's done. The same with us today. The church prevails. The church will go on, not because of the people who are in it, because of the God who is. Today, He is preserving and protecting His church. He has a plan for His church. The enemies will not prevail against them. Controversies will not prevail against them. Obstacles, all those things will not prevail because the Lord is on His side. The Lord is on the side of the church. We see God's glory by His love for His people, His acting in time and history to preserve His people, preserve the church. And we know the Lord is on our side because we have Jesus. Jesus gave His life for the church so that the church will prevail. If God was not on the ancient side of Israel, forget it. If God was not on our side today, forget it. But He is. Therefore, victory is certain. Okay? So now they say, well, let's take a look at some of the circumstances that God delivered them from. I was going to play a video of a great flood, but you've probably seen it. It carries on. When people rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, the flood would have swept us away, the torrent gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. Their anger was kindled against us. You think of a fire when it's kindled. You know, it's that point at the campfire when you know it's going to go now. You know, you kind of wait. You're like, come on, I hope this fire catches, you know. I'm not really good at it either. And I'm like, come on. But then it gets to that point where the fuel is enough and poof, it just explodes. And then, you know, now you got like, how are we going to put this out, right? But that's, their anger was kindled. They were ready to destroy. The fire, the flames were unquenchable. You know, think back the book of Esther. There's Mordecai. He convinced the king to pick a day that on that day people could legally kill the people of Israel. Anybody. They were allowed to murder them. Sounds like a movie, right? Some of you teenagers probably seen that movie. Not many of you have. Anyway, but he had a plan to wipe out his people. They made it a law. You can kill them. Today's the day. You can kill them all. And what happened? Did he prevail? Of course not. Why? Because God was on their side. We see the enemies of Israel also a picture of raging floodwaters. How quick can waters rise and just carry whatever is in his way, carry it away. Either submerge it or swallow it, move it away. You've probably seen the flooding in Texas. I still remember the video of the tsunami that hit several years ago. Unbelievable. The water just came in and destroyed everything in its path. I went on the web and looked at the Weather Channel just to find a little interesting facts about flood water. First thing it said was 6 inches of water moving can knock a human off their feet. Just 6 little inches of water. Water flowing at 5 miles an hour can move boulders that are 5 feet wide. And then water flowing at 25 miles an hour, by now it's got to be going downhill, that's equivalent to winds going 790 miles an hour, which is faster than the speed of sound. Okay, so what we're saying here is that floodwaters can be extremely destructive. Who can stand against this? Israel, the smallest of nations, can they stand against this floods? Of course not. Their very lives, their very nation was going to be destroyed, never to be heard from again. Chance for survival, zero. Except what? The Lord was on their side. So the flood waters, what they're representing here is overwhelming circumstances. And I know that you and I, we can identify with that, right? Because we have circumstances in our life that seem overwhelming. And what we think, what we hope is like, well, God's on our side. So we're not going to have any circumstances. We're not going to have the rough waters. As a matter of fact, this is what we're going to have. Right? I'm going to be on the beach soaking my feet. Isn't that what happens to people who follow God, right? Okay, it's not wrong to take a beach vacation. Pastor Mark's going there next week, okay? I'm not speaking against that. Okay? But what I'm saying in this picture is that God does not promise us the easy life. He does not promise us that everything is going to work out. He does not promise us that our country is going to return to the Scriptures. He does not promise us that we're going to like whoever the next president of the United States is. He does not promise us that we were going to have our best life now. God on our side does not mean we escape the difficulties of this life. As a matter of fact, that's a lie that the enemy carries against us. Okay? Compare this picture to the raging waters. right? The psalm doesn't say, you know, God's going to make everything, we're going to just feel good every day, we're going to live in a big mansion and have no pain. No. Did you hear what the circumstances were? Floodwaters, torrents. We are living on the edge. Every day we live on the edge. Guess what? I've never seen God. But I trust Him. I can't explain the evils of this world and the horrible stories that we hear every day. But I have faith in God. I can't promise you what tomorrow brings. I have no idea what's lurking around the corner. But I trust God with my future. We live on the edge. See, that's the setting of the Christian life. It's the setting. It's not the meaning, it's the setting. The meaning is that God delivers us from life on the edge. We are called to trust Him and not focus on our circumstances. We are called to trust Him and not focus on our circumstances. I just want to take a quick aside here because I have trouble with this. I focus on my circumstances. It's so easy to focus on the flood and see the water. And what do? I get afraid. Man, this might not work out. Family relationships are difficult. Money, difficult. Jobs, difficult. We face all kinds of things. Fearing of losing loved ones, difficult. We have all these things that plague us, that can cause us to be anxious and be afraid. And I don't want to downplay the pains and struggles that we have in this life that we all face. But if you're anxious and fearful, it's probably an indication that you're really focusing on your circumstances, maybe too much. Or maybe you get angry. Your fuse is short. You react quickly. You must be in control. When something goes out of control, rage hits. Somebody cuts you off. Somebody dares to oppose you. Anger is just not getting what you want. You've seen it in your two-year-old. Yeah. But we get older, we justify our anger, right? Oh, I'm not like that two-year-old. Yes, we are. We really are. We're not getting what we want, and we get angry. That's another sign that we're focusing on the floodwaters. The third one, self-pity. Think of Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Woe is me. Nothing ever works out for me. Why me, God? I don't understand. And we crawl into our little self-pity hole and we stay there and the waters come right over us and overwhelm us. So my question to you is, what are your floodwaters? What are you looking at? What's causing you to focus on the waters? And are you saying, God, change it now? Or are you saying, God, you're my deliverer. Lord, help us take our energy and our eyes not to look at the floodwaters, but to look at you, the one who delivers. Have mercy on us. Blessed be the Lord, right? The floodwaters did not overcome us. So the psalm continues. Blessed be the Lord, who's not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Praise the Lord. He didn't give us over as prey to their teeth. He didn't give us over to be ripped apart. The Lord won't allow it. And then the second picture of rescue here. It's escaping like a bird from the snare, from the trap. The fowler, his job is to trap birds. He knows what he's doing. throws a little food on there, sets the little branch, the bird comes in, triggers the trap, the noose grabs, the bird is caught, it's snared. There is no chance of that bird getting out. The bird is trapped. We are weak and easily trapped like the bird. Temptation is strong and we are not. Many things can lead us to that snare. Our own pride. Yeah, I got it together. People should be more like me. God really loves me. I'm snared. Our own sin. The lust of our hearts. We live in a lustful society. It's so easy to get ensnared. Pornography and sexual sin and all that looks good. And we're snared. Money, the comforts of this world. Oh yeah, I really need that. We're snared, right? I could go on and on and on. But we are get trapped. Satan is the one who sets the snare. We are weak and we are caught. What has caught you? What has grabbed you? The beauty of it is the trap is not the end of the story, right? We've escaped. The snare is broken. How it must feel when you're trapped and you have no hope and you fly away to freedom. That's us. That's our story. Okay? I love it. Paul writes this in Corinthians. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. That is who we are. And my friends, if you know you are snared today, it's time to be free. Come and talk. Talk to Pastor Mark. Talk to Pastor Billy. Talk to me. Talk to someone here. Why live ensnared when the trap is broken and you are free? Don't do that to yourself. We have overcome. We fly away in freedom because God rescues us. This is a story about His glory and His love for His people, acting in time and history to preserve His people. And then the final, most powerful verse of the psalm. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Even as we stand on the edge and push to our limits and struggling in circumstances, we can look to this great story of rescue. And just think where we are compared to where they were. They didn't have the cross. Israel had no idea that God had planned, yeah, I'm going to become one of you, a man. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to live a perfect life. And then I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to take all the punishment that should be yours. I'm going to suffer the wrath of God the Father for your sake. What a story of rescue is that? How can we say that God is not for us when He gave His one and only Son so that we may be adopted into His family? We have all the rights of His children. His promises are for us. Hey, we have to respond to this psalm. I'm sorry. You can't just leave and go, well, that was fun. That was nice. These words demand a response. They demand a response. Whose side are you on? So what do we do to respond? One, I think we need to check ourselves. Are you connecting your life to the big story of God's deliverance? Or are you trying to pull God down and squish him in to your story? Come on, God, I'm a Christian. Make it all work out. It's not going to work. That's going to leave you empty and frustrated. There's a story about Abraham Lincoln in the Civil War. He was at a prayer breakfast with a group of ministers. And one of the ministers got up and he said, "Let's pray that the Lord will be on our side." And as the story goes, Lincoln says, "Hold on. Let's pray that we will be on the Lord's side." He understood that. He understood that. We don't pull God to us. We surrender up to him. What do we do in response to this? We hope. And we don't hope for a change in circumstances. That's not bad. That's not bad to have a change in circumstances. But here's a quote that a good friend gave to me from Elizabeth Elliot. "The secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances." The secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. See, that's where we get confused, right? Well, if there's a God, he's going to change our circumstances, make it all work out, and it's going to be so nice. No. But he's doing something bigger. He's working with our hearts. He's changing our hearts so that we can be people of hope, so that we can know him, so that we can enjoy what he has done for us. He's doing the work inside of us, strengthening us. We look upward and inward, but not outward. So what do? In response to this, we sing. We sing songs about God's glory, his power, his mercy, his great love for us. We point one another to truth. What do in response to this? We believe and remember. We believe and remember. Brothers and sisters, that Bible is filled with promises for his people. They're not far off. Oh, that's kind of nice. They're promises to grab hold of and hold on to and walk with and live by. It is the word of God given for his people. Think about some of those promises. All things work out for the good of those who love the Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. These promises are way greater than any circumstances we will ever encounter. We remember and we believe. So how do we respond to this? And we have to travel together, okay? This song only makes sense if we do it as a community, okay? You can't, your application is not go home, learn a promise, close your Bible. I'm good, I got this promise, Tim. No, we've got to do it together. Do you understand? We're all on this journey together. And guess what? It's easy to get tripped up. It's easy to get lost. It's easy to get stuck. It's easy to forget. It's easy to look at the floodwaters. Well, who's going to help me? Who's going to offer their hand and pull me and point me to the truth? You are. The people sitting around us. We got a whole next generation coming up, people. And my goodness, it's hard to follow Christ in the culture we have today. It is really hard. And I'm thinking back to how I started and that 12, 13, 14-year-old. Yeah, I hear these stories about God's power and God's deliverance. I haven't seen it. As a matter of fact, it seems like as I try to be faithful and live for God, bad things seem to happen to me. That's kind of how it feels to be that age. Who's going to answer that call? Yes, we are. We're on the road together and we're going to tell him, I know. I know it's hard. It's really hard. But guess what? God delivers his people. His promises are for us. He is for us. He's taken us to the promised land. He's gonna see it through. Do you understand? This is a community walk. This is a community song. We have to do it together. They saw, ancient Israel, they saw their identity bound together as God's rescued people. We as the church, we need to see it too. It's a together. God together is rescuing us. And we walk the path together. And we remind each other, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your precious promises. Lord, thank you that you have something greater for us than an easy life. Help us, Lord, to remember and believe and walk in your promises. Lord, help us as a church community to grab each other's hands and to point each other to the truth, to free each other from snares, Lord, and that we may sing about you and your rescue, and that we might live in your deliverance. Do your work here, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand and hear God's blessing? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.